Hi, I'm Kenny.
And this is Monica.
And you're listening to Questioning Faith,
a podcast where we discuss our journey with the Christian faith.
In today's episode, Don't Forgive as God Forgives, we talk about forgiveness and the way it's portrayed in the Bible, the way it's portrayed within Christianity.
And then the culture and kind of how we feel about what forgiveness means and when to do it.
Yeah, I had fun doing this one because I think that we have a little bit of a difference in philosophy on forgiveness.
A little bit, yeah.
And it was fun to kind of just
disagree about something for a little while.
Yeah, and kind of try and talk through it.
Right.
So here's our episode on forgiveness, and I hope you enjoy. So our first question has to be,
what is forgiveness?
Yeah.
It's a question I remember us discussing as believers, what it means to forgive and what is forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think on some level, everybody kind of has a general idea of what forgiveness is. And I think most people have a very similar idea about what forgiveness is, right? It's letting go of a wrong that was committed against you.
Right. Either just forgetting a debt and like not expecting repayment or retribution for it, or at the very least, like letting go of your anger or like letting go of your feelings against that person for whatever crime that they committed against you.
Yeah.
So everybody's might be a little bit differently nuanced, but that's pretty much the gist of it.
Yeah, that's basically what I think of when I think of forgiveness, is that releasing someone from the wrong.
Right, and not harboring negative feelings about it anymore within yourself, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's something kind of cathartic about forgiving somebody. When you're mad at somebody or when you're pulling something against something, like, it weighs, at least for me, it, like, weighs on me.
It's stressful, it takes a lot of energy.
Uh-huh. So it's kind of like letting that go is very calming, soothing. Kind of feels good.
It does, yeah.
I can see why there's so much forgiveness in spirituality and so much forgiveness within like self-help philosophy and things like that. Because it's good for your mental health.
Right. Would you say that the story of the Christian God demonstrates forgiveness?
No.
I don't either. And clearly we would have said, when we were Christians, we would have said yes, like a resounding yes.
Yeah, we thought that Christianity and the story of salvation was the epitome of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, God's not letting go of our wrongs in that.
No.
At least within cultural evangelical Christianity, no, he's pouring out his wrath on someone else.
Yeah, or even, depending on your theology, displacing his anger because of somebody else's sacrifice.
He's still being appeased.
Right.
He's still being paid back for what was wronged against him. And so, now, I don't think I could say that that's really forgiveness.
Right, because if you take out a bank loan and then pay it back, the bank isn't forgiving you for the debt. You're literally paying it. And God said, even if you take this Christian story as true, God said, the punishment for sin is death. That punishment is appeased through Jesus Christ. And so that's not forgiveness, that's a repaying of debt.
Yeah, it's much closer to God trying to, I guess, be just by upholding his law or something like that than it is him actually forgiving.
Right.
But what would we have, how would we have defended that, though? How would we have said, well, no, it really is forgiveness?
I think we would have said he didn't have to make this path available to us by him creating a path to displace blame and to fulfill the law that he created. That's his brand of forgiveness.
Yeah. And then I guess also God is Jesus. And so it's God hurting himself instead of hurting us.
Yeah.
Like he's just kind of internalizing everything and he's just taking it upon himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I suppose on some level there's a bit of kind of a forgiveness thing going on here. But I'm not sure it's the model of forgiveness that I would want to give to anybody.
No, well, because they say forgive as God forgives.
Right. I mean, that's Ephesians 4, right? Paul tells the Ephesians, act in kindness and forgive each other just as God in Christ forgave you.
And we are literally incapable of sacrificing ourselves to ourselves.
Right. Right.
Like, what does that mean to forgive as
right? The implication there is like, okay, well, just kind of let it go, right? I think it's the definition that we gave at the beginning of this, right? The implication is whenever one of your congregation wrongs you, be done with it. Just kind of let it go and don't hold it against them. And it seems as though Paul's forgetting that God didn't just easily just let it go.
No, at the very
In fact,
minimum.
He went through a 1,000-year process of creating a law, pouring out his judgment on these people over and over and over and over again until eventually he descends down to the planet and fulfills the law himself and then takes upon himself all of that blame, all of that punishment, all of that suffering,
right?
And then does away with it that way. It's not just a be done with it, let it go.
No.
And so the model doesn't work.
No. And then there's all of the times in the text that it says, God is merciful and God is just.
So it seems like God is more interested through the cross, I think. I mean, I think that's kind of the point that it comes to here is the cross is more about God trying to be just and merciful at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't be just and merciful, right? If you're exercising mercy, then you are foregoing justice. If you are exercising justice, you're foregoing mercy.
Right. They're two mutually exclusive ideas.
Right. Justice would require someone is adequately punished for a crime they commit, or that someone is adequately rewarded for a good deed that they commit, right?
Right. It's
doing right by those who do right and doing right by those who do wrong, right?
Yeah, it's, the ultimate karmic justice or the ultimate balance. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And mercy is the complete opposite.
Yeah, it's not fulfilling the justice that somebody deserves. If assuming that they deserve some sort of punishment, it's relenting.
Yeah, these are two of those qualities that God claims to have that are contradictory.
Right.
God claims to be perfectly just. And God also claims to be perfectly merciful.
Mm-hmm. One has to give some. There has to be a flaw or a bending of one for them to work together.
Yeah.
And you have to say that God is not fully just if he's merciful.
Mm-hmm.
What does some of the Bible passages say about forgiveness?
In Matthew, Peter, I think it's Peter, asks Jesus, he's like, hey, so how often am I supposed to forgive somebody?
Oh, this is the 7 times 70 story.
Yeah. And Peter's like, am I supposed to forgive 7 times? And Jesus goes, no, you're supposed to forgive 70 times 7
mm-hmm.
times. And at least all of the times that I have heard it taught and times that I have taught it, it seems the implication is, right, because nobody's going to count out 70 times 7. What is that? 490 times? You wronged me.
That's one. Yeah.
You know, all right, that's 480. You're almost done with your forgiveness.
Right.
Like, nobody's going to do that. Like, it's, you should always forgive.
Right. Yeah, that's what the text says. And now I completely disagree.
You shouldn't always forgive?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay, I think I agree. But why do you say you shouldn't always forgive?
Well, I think that for petty crimes, for things that don't really matter, like eating an apple when you're not supposed to, yeah, let that go. It doesn't. It's meaningless. It doesn't hurt me or anyone.
Yeah. When a student in my class acts like a jerk or something.
Yeah,
like,
and I've had kids whatever. Like... steal a pencil or steal a pen or even like something off like, my desk like that I really liked, like they steal stuff mm-hmm. sometimes,
or they've broken something of mine, you know, whatever.
Yeah, or so a friend cheats at a game, like these things that don't, even somebody stealing your car, that is terrible and it sucks, but that's not physically harming me.
Yeah, and I can see forgiving somebody for those.
Yeah, especially
and especially in the more, I'm not sure about the Grand Theft Auto kind of thing, but at least on all like the little petty things,
yeah,
I can see, yeah, just
kind of,
you let it go. And in fact, I think that you're better off letting it go. Kind of going back to that, the mental health kind of thing. I'm better off in my classroom if I can let those things go.
Yeah. And none of it really matters. Now, you're right. I mean, there is a distinction with the cars and stealing stuff out of your home that's physically threatening, like, your well-being to get mm-hmm. along in society. Like, I get that. But then, let's say somebody, you know, they apologize for that. If it only happened once, then I could let that go.
Mm-hmm.
If it happened twice, and then they again apologize, I might even let it go again. But then it's, you know, 3 or 4 times, I'm probably not going to let it go anymore. Or the more severe example would be, okay, somebody molests my kid.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you should be angry about that.
I'm not sure maybe is the word. I think be angry.
Maybe you should never not be angry about that.
I find it hard to see how forgiving that person is a good thing.
Right. And we danced around it as Christians. Mm-hmm. We jumped through the hoops. We would say things like, forgive, don't forget. Or
mm-hmm.
forgive, but learn from it.
Right.
Or, you know, like stuff like that, that just kind of dances around the point. Because what does that mean to forgive? But not forget.
I suppose I would have said, and I think I might still say, you let it go, like you don't hold it against them, but you also, you're not going to put yourself in a position where they might have the opportunity to do something like that again. On a smaller scale, I could forgive somebody for taking a pencil or something of mine
mm-hmm.
and not hold it against them, not be mad about it, and not even treat them differently. But if there's a pen I like, I'm not giving them that pen. I'm not going to let them borrow that pen. I'll give them a different pencil. But I'm not giving them my nice pen.
You are holding it against them.
I suppose there would have to be a definition of terms on that, because I don't see that as holding it against them. I'm not mad at them. I'm not treating them any differently.
Okay, so it's more about you than it is them.
What do you mean?
So you've learned that they're going to take it, so you are holding it against them because you've learned that they're pen takers.
Yes.
So...
But I'm not sure I see that necessarily as the same as holding it against them. I would view holding something against a person as I'm still angry at them about it. I then treat them differently in multiple situations, even apart from borrowing things in that situation. I treat them differently because I'm mad at them for what they've done to me, because they've wronged me. But maybe I'm trying to make it too nuanced. Maybe those are the same thing. But I personally see those as different things. So forgiving and not forgetting, I don't necessarily have an issue with. But I'm not sure when we get to higher level wrongs and higher level crimes, like molestation or rape or murder or things like that, forgiving and not forgetting is an okay thing.
Mm.
Certainly don't forget that they did that, but also, why are you forgiving them for this?
Yeah.
They have irreparably damaged someone you know, or yourself.
Yeah.
I personally don't think that they deserve any kind of forgiveness for that.
Yeah. But I think we would have said it's not about what they deserve, it's about your own mental state.
It's about your own mental state.
Yeah, it's about your own body and your own health that you forgive even the most heinous of crimes so that you're not harboring resentment.
I suppose if you can do that, power to you.
I think that we should be angry at people when they've messed up that badly.
Surely there's a way to move past something and not let it dominate your life without forgiving a person for it.
Right.
I can see that as maybe one method of it. Surely you can let go of the resentment, you can let go of the negative feelings without releasing that person from their atrocity.
And really, now that I'm thinking about it more, it kind of depends. And it might vary from person to person. Like, someone who's abused or whose family member was abused, it might be better for them to release their anger and forgive the person. Like, maybe it is better for their mental health and for their being to just release that person. Maybe so. And maybe for somebody else, for another victim, it's better for them to stay angry. Maybe that's what's healthier for that person and more beneficial.
Mm.
And so it probably depends on your personality, your genetics, your upbringing, what route is better for you. But I would say that they're probably both equally valid.
Mm.
And just because you're more forgiving of a person doesn't mean you're more moral or better than the person who wants to hold on to that anger, because they're right to be angry.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't think there is any need for forgiveness in some cases. But if you want to, that's fine.
Yeah. And I suppose that's kind of really the point here.
Yeah.
Is that within Christianity, the message is you should forgive.
Yeah, and you have to forgive. You're almost in sin if you don't forgive.
Well, no, you definitely are in sin if you don't forgive. That's that's the Lord's Prayer.
Right.
Right? We forgive. Gosh, wow. I haven't said that in so long.
And forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us.
Yeah. And then lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The very next verse, though, this is the part that's always left out.
Hmm.
For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you.
Right. So if you are harboring anger.
But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Right. That's New Testament. Like,
that's Jesus.
Right.
That's Matthew 6.
Mm-hmm. You have to forgive.
If you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven.
Mm-hmm. So it leads to all kinds of heinous teachings on what you're supposed to let go, what you have to let go.
Right.
When, maybe for some people it's healthy to let it go, but for others it's not.
Yeah. If
it
can be detrimental. If that's the way that you're going to, move on with your life?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Go for it. But man, to tell someone you have to let this go and you have to forgive this person who hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise,
you won't be forgiven. Yeah, it's taking a victim and making them further victimized with your dogma.
Well, and a little bit akin to victim blaming.
Right.
Right?
Now
the responsibility is on you to make this right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's just not the example we see given by God. Like we said in Ephesians, forgive as God forgives. But look at all of the examples in the Bible. Does God forgive over and over and over? He does not.
No, you know? God is not a God of forgiving.
No, from the very beginning. You even look at Adam and Eve, and they eat the apple. We do not see forgiveness. We see original sin being introduced to man. We see women having to bear children. We see men having to work the fields. And we see sin nature passed on to all of humanity, and the punishment now is eternal damnation.
Yeah, God is so mad
and
about
it's not rape, it's not
one,
murder.
Yeah, this one instance of disobedience.
Yeah, which, they didn't obey me to the T.
Like, we could talk about the narcissism probably about that for a while. But yeah, this one instance of disobedience, God then holds that against not only them and not only against their children, but against the rest of humanity.
Yeah, it's a completely disproportionate response.
Yeah, that's the opposite of forgiveness,
yeah,
for sure.
It is. And we see it over and over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Picking up sticks on the Sabbath. We see that in either Numbers Numbers or Deuteronomy. Like, there's some guy picking up sticks on the Sabbath, and the people are like, what do we do? And God says, stone him.
Yeah.
Throw rocks at him until he's dead. Yeah. It's not forgiveness. It's murder.
Uh-huh.
It's killing. Because that's the law.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like what you said, it's the justice. It's the lack of mercy. And it's payment, not forgiveness.
Yeah. And regardless of whether or not those laws are just laws, if we hold the notion of God being good and the law that he makes being a good law, he is trying to uphold that law. He's mm-hmm. trying to be just according to his own law. And so that's God's justice being enacted.
Random laws that you must fulfill
yeah.
that don't necessarily harm anyone. The only reason that they're sin is because God said it was a law.
Mm-hmm.
Like eating unclean animals or whatever. And then they're condemned. And it wasn't really hurting anyone.
No.
It's just a law for law's sake. Like, literally.
Yeah. Another example of God not just holding something against a person, but against their children, is the story of Eli and his sons. This is 1 Samuel. And this guy, Eli, he's like the high priest. He's the prophet of the Lord. And his two sons are supposed to be doing the sacrifices, and they're doing it terribly and all
right.
that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they're treating the offering of the Lord with contempt.
Mm-hmm. I remember the story now.
And God tells Eli that the days are coming when I will cut off your strength and the strength of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house.
Mm-hmm. You're all going to die young.
Yeah. In 1 Samuel 22, it says, and Doeg the Edomite turned and struck down the priests, and he killed on that day 85 persons who wore the linen ephod. And Nob, the city of the priests, he put to the sword. Both man and woman, child and infant, ox, donkey, and sheep, he put to the sword. But one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar told David that Saul had killed the priests of the Lord. So all of these priests, who are descendants of Eli, because that's the way the priestly line worked,
mm-hmm.
were all killed before mm-hmm. they reached an old age. All but one. And then Abiathar is then later kicked out by Solomon.
And kings. Okay.
And I didn't read to you, I guess, the rest of that prophecy that was told against Eli. It says, the only one of you whom I shall not cut off from my altar shall be spared to weep his eyes out, to grieve his heart, and all the descendants of your house shall die by the sword of men. And then lastly, just to drive it home, as if God's prophecy against Eli already wasn't enough, he then says, a little bit later in 1 Samuel 3, he says, and I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming me, and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. So it's not just, okay, your line will all be killed.
Mm-hmm.
And except for one who will have to live out the rest of his days weeping at the fact that he saw all this happen. But yeah. also, no amount of sacrifice will ever make up for what you've done to me.
Yeah.
Because your sons didn't do the offerings correctly.
Yeah.
And you didn't, I guess you didn't reprimand them enough.
Yeah. And see, that's not forgiveness. And no. that's not even harming God personally in any way. It's just not doing the sacrifices correctly to him. It's not worshiping him enough or adorning him enough. Like, that's the crime that's against him.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
It really is.
The expectations of forgiveness for humanity is so much higher
mm-hmm.
than what God has demonstrated or done. And people are so much
more forgiving,
stronger and more forgiving than this God in the Bible is even depicted to be.
Yeah. He's petty.
Mm-hmm. And over and over and over.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that we can call that even justice.
No. Because who in the world?
Like, these 80 descendants of Eli, what did they do to deserve that?
Genetically related to these
sons. Oh, they were born.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Thanks. Yeah. And so not only does God not represent forgiveness in him, I suppose, upholding his justice,
mm-hmm.
his justice isn't even just.
Right. It's just following his arbitrary laws and then horrifying punishments for any sort of variance within that law.
Yeah.
It's a very weird dictatorship.
Mm-hmm.
with some sort of just ultimate control on mind and body on all of its subordinates.
Yeah.
Until we get to Jesus. And then it's like there's this softening of the rules where you don't have to follow all of these weird laws anymore. You can just believe in Jesus, again, whatever that means.
Mm-hmm.
You can check out our previous episodes for that.
Yeah.
Believe in Jesus and be saved.
Right.
From what I was going to do to you. It's like that TikTok of that guy pretending to be God holding somebody's head under the water. And then...
Oh, and then lets him up. And then and lets he goes, him up. Look, I saved you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So if you believe in Jesus, God will save you from the evil he was going to do to you if you didn't believe.
Yeah.
But even then, we see New Testament commands that don't really line up with what most people would say is forgiveness and what's healthy forgiveness.
There are multiple other places in the New Testament where it gets kind of redundant. It says very similar things. In Colossians, it's very similar to that Ephesians verse about, mm-hmm. you know, forgive as God has forgiven you. The Gospels kind of have a little bit of repetitiveness about, like, the forgive so that you will be forgiven kind of thing.
Right.
Although, a couple of places in Psalms, you have the psalmist crying out to God saying, you are so forgiving and good, and, you know, you forgive those who call out to you.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of laughable after what we just talked about, I think.
Right.
That, well, no, he's not forgiving.
No.
And as we already kind of talked about towards the beginning of this, even his grand act of forgiveness is kind of is borderline forgiveness anyway.
Right. It's not what we would ever claim that forgiveness is. It's not how we define forgiveness at all. Like letting go of anger, releasing somebody from a debt. That's not what happened. The whole story is killing someone that was innocent so that he doesn't kill you.
Right.
Like it's a whole different realm of sidestepping the mm-hmm. law, not just letting something go.
Mm-hmm. So in the end, I would say don't forgive like God forgives.
Yeah, be better than that.
Be better than that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
If they're trying to emulate God, it would be more like they hold it against that person and then 100 years later hunt down all of their descendants and kill them.
Right. Or it would be finding someone who hasn't wronged you and blame them.
Right.
And then say that the other person's now off the hook.
Yeah, right.
Well, I wonder what questions we can come up with to go along with this forgiveness episode. I would be up for asking, does the story of the Christian God demonstrate forgiveness to you? And if so, how?
Yeah, that's good. What is your stance on forgiveness? Like, do you think that you should kind of just try and forgive across the board as much as you can?
Hmm.
Or do you kind of land somewhere further away from that where, you know, forgive but never forget? Or forgive small things but kind of hold other things against the people that deserve it? Or you're not getting my forgiveness ever. You know, you wrong me and we're done.
Right.
Kind of thing. What do you think about forgiveness?
What's your philosophy on forgiveness?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be interested to hear that.
And then I would ask, can a person or a being be perfectly merciful and perfectly just, as God claims to be in the text? Or are those two mutually exclusive ideas? And then explain.
Nice. So our three questions then for this episode are...
Does the Christian God demonstrate forgiveness? And if so, how?
What is your philosophy on forgiveness?
Is it possible to be perfectly merciful and perfectly just at the same time?
Thanks for listening to Questioning Faith.
We hope you guys enjoyed it.
If you have any thoughts or questions, you can reach us at kennyandmonicaaskquestions@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter.
Our next episode will be available on May 5th. But until then, remember,
always ask questions.